Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com. All right, the news that came down was that the LA County Registrar of Voters has put out a press release, and they have rejected the recall effort against LA County District Attorney George Gascon, finding 520,050 signatures to be valid, 195,783 invalid. The required to put this on the ballot was 566,857.
So we're about 46,000 plus short, and they threw out almost 200,000. This is just an abomination. We're going to talk now to Steve Cooley, the former LA County DA, who is one of the principals in the recall effort. Steve, welcome. What went on here? What's going on?
Well, we firmly believe that the registrar recorder did not follow the law that became law September of 2020. We have evidence and admissions from that office that they used an out-of-date manual and they more than likely did not incorporate the new law, which mandated that any signature was to be presumed valid, that to invalidate it, the initial reviewer must go through a series of steps regarding signatures that tend to favor it being valid, and they can only invalidate based upon the standard of beyond a reasonable doubt. And that decision has to be reviewed, and two independent people must unanimously agree it was invalid. We think the registrar recorder did not follow the law, and we are going to court in the next day or so. We were trigger locked in this eventuality, and we intend to go to court the next day or so to prove that in court. And I hope we get Dean Logan on the stand and our witnesses from his office who will prove what I just said.
I'll grant you that, but they're claiming, and these are their numbers, that mismatched signatures only add up to 9,490. The bulk of them is not registered voters and people who signed duplicate times. Yeah. That's about 130,000 plus.
I would find that stunning. However, if they invalidated individuals because they signed twice, fine, that's the law. If they invalidated people because they were not Los Angeles County registered voters, fine, that's the law. I think we're going to have to delve further into this get more facts, and we have a great legal team assembled to do just that.
Is there a way to review signature by signature, petition by petition, to see what's valid and what's not?
Yes, there is a right. The proponents of a recall petition have the right to review a registrar recorder decision to invalidate a particular signature for whatever reason. And I'm sure Carl Gascon people will be exercising their right when it comes to reviewing the registrar recorder's decisions.
What's your perception of how many of the petitions were vetted by that outside company that the recall organization hired? Because it seems to me that organization should have picked up most of this in advance.
I do not know the percentages that broke down, but there were three sources of petitions. One, people responding to to petitions that were mailed to them at their home, at their residence address. Two, the paid signature gathering companies. And three, a rather robust volunteer effort of people concerned about the justice system and how Gascon was dismantling it. So they had three different sources, and the rate of validation or invalidation from each source is something I think that I'm curious about.
Well, it seems like the percentage that they found in the overall total was much higher than the percentage they found in that 5% sample that they took. And I thought that was unusual as well.
I think the whole thing bears a lot of scrutiny. The fact of the matter is, if that small number of signatures were invalidated and the rest were from duplicates and not Los Angeles County registered voters, I find that really, really hard to believe. Because I do know that the recall Gascon people went through all of the signatures and compared them to the Los Angeles County voter roll, and they, on their own, eliminated duplicates. So nothing is adding up to me. I think we have to take a good hard look at this and go to court if we have grounds. And we're going to meet, actually, within an hour to do just that.
You know,
our options, but we are ready to go to court.
You know, a few years ago, Dean Logan lost about 118,000 people that were on the rolls.
That's 2018 primary.
But they weren't allowed to vote the day of the primary. And some of them never voted.
Oh, yeah, no, I was one of them.
Really?
I registered to vote in Los Angeles County when I was 21, and when I moved to Palos Verdes Peninsula, I wasn't on the rolls, despite having registered. But that's he's got a sketchy background. I don't necessarily trust him, but I do trust courts of law. If we're given an opportunity, that's where I want to go. And after a judge looks at it and says everything goes the up and up, hey, so be it. We respect the law. But I don't necessarily want to lay down because Dean Logan reaches a conclusion.
All right, Steve. Well, hopefully we'll have you back on when you guys have your meeting and decide what your next step is.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
All right. That's former L.A. County District Attorney Steve Cooley. And, of course, one of the prime people behind the effort to recall from office the L.A. County D.A. now, George Gascon. And we got word that they have rejected the recall, claiming there were not enough valid signatures. And the bulk of them are people, according to the county registrar's office, people either not registered or who have signed duplicate. That's a big chunk of the rejected signatures. They rejected 195,000. And those two categories that I mentioned is about 130,000 of them. So you can see right there, as you pointed out to Steve, the mismatched signature category is not even 10,000. So it doesn't look like that is the problem with the recall. It was just that people either signed twice or more times or were not even registered to vote. Maybe not anywhere, but certainly not in LA County. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on this, and we'll certainly have them back on when they come up with a with an answer to this rejection of the recall effort of L.A. County D.A. George Gascon.
John and Ken, KFI. Another dark day because the corrupt L.A. County Registrar's Office has thrown out the petition to recall Gascon, saying we're 46,000 short. They threw out 195,000 signatures saying they weren't valid for many reasons.
It's not the fight we thought we'd have. Let's be clear about that. All the concerns were probably around the category of a mismatched signature. When we talked to the attorney for the recall campaign last week, she said, well, they're using 2017 guidelines, but things changed with some laws in 2018 and 2020. And as you can see from mail-in ballots, signatures just don't get rejected anymore. Well, in the case of the recall, they only rejected, of the total rejected signatures, only 9,490 for a signature mismatch. It's something different. It's not registered, and it's maximum number of times signed or duplicate signatures, which together made up the bulk by far of the rejections. So it's probably a different battle than I thought the recall people thought they were going to have on their hands if the petitions were rejected. So they can go. It says here they have 30 days to, a three-week window to review the registrar's findings. So they believe that they can use that to perhaps gather evidence for a possible litigation. I mean, this one's not hard. You go in there and you say, all right, show me the people, the 88,464 not registered, and let's take a look at your L.A. County voter rolls. And then I would call some of those people up if I could and say, did you know you're not registered? Or
And check the duplicate signatures, see if that's real. You know, there's probably, for example, if Ray Lopez signed, right? Well, there's probably a couple of hundred Ray Lopez's in the county. You want to make sure.
Isn't your address on there, too?
Yeah, but who knows? See, again, government workers, recently hired government workers. You're dealing with the stupid class here. It doesn't mean anybody executed their job properly. I mean, look at all the mistakes they made with the unemployment office.
You're also matching them up against paid signature gatherers, which you and I know from the past can be very dubious.
Oh, those people are sketchy too. But I mean look
who's
at
who's going to take that job, as you like to say.
Right. So the dopes in the unemployment office managed to blow over $30 billion. Certainly, this crowd could botch up, 50,000 signatures.
That may have been what happened. We don't know.
But you have to prove it. 32,000 have a different address. Less than 10,000 have a mismatch. Then there's these weird categories. Canceled, 7,300. Don't know what that means. Other, 9,331. Well, what encompasses other?
I don't know.
I mean, I can't even think of, outside of these top six reasons they give, what would be the next? I don't know. You don't know. There's so much unknown here, but they got to get to work fast if they only have 3 weeks. And they've got to get evidence. When you go to court, it's like the whole Trump crowd, right? They could be absolutely right, and there was all kinds of fraud in the 2020 election, except they don't have a whiff of proof. Not one thing. I think they took it to 60 courts and 60 judges threw out all their claims. Right. So it's as if you have no proof because no judge looked at it and said, hey, you got something there. No, you got nothing. So you got to have something in order to get a judge to say, wait, let's do a timeout. Let's do a complete page-by-page review here.
Yeah, and you got to imagine, even though we believe this guy is a lunk, this registrar of voters, Dean Logan, he knew that this is going to be watched very carefully. So it's unlikely it's an obvious botch job, but I don't know.
You just don't know. There's so much money flowing around now. There's so many activist groups. There's so many ways to make stuff disappear. There's so much incompetence, which I often think is the biggest problem. I know it is. I know it is. There is not. I just had one today. I can't get into it, but just having to deal with application forms and having to deal with people verifying and people getting back. And it was just a grind for a couple of hours, something that should have taken 3 minutes. I have this when you deal with insurance. You have this when you call about your bank situations, mortgage situations. It's just anything that pops up on the radar that involves cubicles, paperwork, computers, forms. It's always a mess. It's always a huge aggravation. You got 400 government employees and you've got 700,000 petitions. Who knows?
It was a...
Especially when the bias is to keep Gascon in office. That's the bias.
About a 27% rejection rate. Now, experts had said that with recalls, because they're tougher than just mail-in ballots where they just are comparing signatures. Recalls, it's because, you know, petitions get circulated everywhere, left and right. You have no idea really who's signing sometimes, and even that person may not know what they're signing. So the rejection rate is higher for recalls than, say, a general election with ballots that are mailed in. But as I said, one expert said 20 to 30% are rejected. Well, as I pointed out earlier, the Chesa Boudin recall, apparently 34% were rejected. Probably a lot of people didn't realize they don't live in San Francisco territory. But they must have had a nice margin, nice cushion. Because they still got it on the ballot.
Right. With this rejection rate, they needed probably, you know, another 60,000 signatures to collect it, right?
Right. They probably need to get close to 800,000. They had about 717,000 turned in.
What's really important is to vet the signatures beforehand. And they supposedly paid a lot of money to a professional company that checks for exactly all these objections, whether they're registered or not, number one, whether there's duplicate signings, whether the address is correct, and on and on and on. That company should have done that. Why did that company miss so much? Because if you know you're falling short, a month in advance, then you could go crazy and try to get the last 60,000 signatures, whatever it is you need.
Yeah, if I hired a company to do that, I could see a 10% miss rate, but a 27% miss rate?
Shouldn't have happened if you're pre-vetting. That's what made me feel confident that we were going to get there, because we had over a 20% cushion, and they were vetting it. So it's like, well, that seems like we're likely to reach it.
But no. I think so. It's a bad deal.
You know, and we're not talking about, you know, a legislator here. We're talking about a guy who's actively letting murderers and would-be murderers run free, and people are really getting killed. They're really actually dying, just for starters, and then all the other crimes. It's terrible. It's terrible. Wow. And I want. You know, Steve Cooley, this guy is the most one of the most trusted people that we've encountered. You know, and he is exceptionally competent at what he does. But there's other people in the organization. Maybe they didn't do their jobs. Maybe the vetting company stunk. Maybe the signature gatherers were dodgy. I don't know.
Many possibilities. It's a lot of money too that went down the drain. They raised millions,
right,
for this effort, and all to no avail. All right, when we come back, well, there's been some pretty horrible violence in Tijuana to the point where I don't think anybody should consider crossing the border right now for a little vacation trip. We'll tell you what it's all about, that and more coming up.
John and Ken Show, KFI.
All right, well, now we take you across the border where one of the big international stories is a new surge in violence in cities in Mexico, particularly more recently in Tijuana, which is just over the border from San Diego. Thousands of National Guard soldiers have been patrolling the streets. Armed and hooded criminals shut down the city the night before. They forced people off of public transportation. They set taxis on fire. 15 alone in Tijuana. Now, the origins of this, depending on the news story you read, supposedly comes from a cartel I had not heard of before, the Cartel Jalisco Nueva Generación. And they actually put out a message on social media telling people there's a curfew. Go home or you're going to risk being attacked.
The cartel informs The public.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, because they run. That's what we always say. They run things.
Many people close their businesses. Apparently, there were fiery demonstrations in Baja California. There's also been mayhem in Jalisco and a couple of other places. This has been going on for weeks, but this flare-up in Tijuana really got attention because that's a popular tourist site for Americans since it's pretty close across the border. But the one I should tell you about, John, that's particularly worrisome, apparently last week in Ciudad Juarez, four employees of a radio station broadcasting a live promotional event were killed in shootings outside a pizza store. How about that? So, you know, we got to be careful when we do our...
Well, we're not going to be going to a pizza store.
I know.
In Mexico, that's not on
All
the...
All they were doing was a radio promotion. They got caught in the...
Did they get caught in the crossfire, or had they
they're innocent, yeah.
Because they kill lots of journalists in Mexico.
I think this was like a music station. I don't think it was in...
But they didn't get their request played?
No, I think they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And sometimes these cartels, it appears in these stories, are fighting each other, and people are getting caught in the crossfire. There's one woman who just said, "Let them kill each other, but leave us alone." People in Mexico are pretty used to cartel violence.
Yeah, I mean, it's once you have a criminal organization that gets big enough and rich enough, and their tentacles are spread wide enough, it's like the mob was in New York City for many decades. You know what I'm watching? I don't know if you've seen this. Have you seen the Offer? It's a mini series about the making of The Godfather.
No.
It didn't
really have a lot of interest. I heard of it, but...
It's really, really good. And it brought back a lot of memories of growing up in the New York area in the 1970s. And I realized as a kid, I knew the names of the five mob families. And they were on television all the time. And I recognized these guys as they were depicted in the movie. And I realized, I guess as a little kid, I kind of thought the mob ran New York City. Because a lot of politicians really seemed weak and ineffective. And New York City was bankrupt and ridden with crime, but the mobsters seem to know how to run things, and it's the same thing in Mexico. The drug cartel guys, they know how to run things. They have a great industry. They employ thousands and thousands of people. They make billions of dollars. It runs exceptionally
well.
It's
because they kill people in their way. I mean, it's pretty simple when they don't play by any rules.
Sure, but it works, doesn't it?
If we would allow our government to execute people again, well, we do want our government, but they refuse to do it because they're weenies.
Yeah. No.
You can get your way if you rule by that kind of force.
Yeah. But there are
real consequences to your misactions, right?
But there is a certain appeal to it, which is why the mob was never hated so much as it was admired in a way. You know, nobody wanted to admit it, but it's like, wow. Those guys know what they're doing. They get things done. They're making money. You know, the government doesn't run really well and efficiently, but the mobsters, they don't put up with anything. And
well,
I think there's the same kind
Tijuana,
of respect in Mexico for the cartels.
Yeah, the area around Tijuana, which of course borders Southern California, is apparently a big drug trafficking corridor. It's been long dominated by a cartel called the Arellano Felix, but now it's become a battleground between that cartel and Jalisco and Sinaloa. And I guess this new one that I mentioned a few minutes ago seems to have entered the scene too. That president of Mexico, I call him AMLO, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, he was supposedly going to, you know, they always say this, we're going to do something about the drug violence and the drug cartels.
No, if he actually did, he'd get killed.
Probably not. Yeah.
They have no problem assassinating. They assassinate lots of politicians and lots of journalists who look like they're going to get in the way.
Yeah, apparently he's been criticized for a strategy of hugs, not bullets. He proposed a form of amnesty for drug cartel thugs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because otherwise you get the bullet in the head.
Well, they don't kill the president usually.
Because
they've
the president
mayors all over that country.
The president always goes along because he's get, you know, they all get money on the side. When you're running a corporation worth billions of dollars and you need the president to go along, the president gets a check. Lots of checks. Hidden in bank accounts, God knows where. So
the mayor of Tijuana put a video on social media attributing the events to organized crime and asked citizens to remain calm. She then added that Tijuana citizens should not have to pay the consequences of people who didn't pay their bills, which many took to mean that those who did not pay extortion fees to cartels. That seems to be what she believes is instigating some of the violence. She basically admits that there are fair targets and unfair targets, said one critic. She seems to acknowledge that there is space in Baja California for people to engage in payback as long as they fight each other and leave ordinary citizens alone.
There you go. So it's an acknowledgement that the cartels are here to stay. They're part of the fabric of the country. And as long as they just kill each other.
It's a big part of the economy.
A big part of the economy, yeah. Well, because all the I mean, if it wasn't...
Just like exporting people to the U.S. is a big part of the economy because they send money back home.
What would these people do for work if they didn't work for the cartels?
They'd be coming here.
They produce... We buy billions of dollars of their product. Billions of dollars. That means they employ a lot of people, so the distribution works. So we get our supply of cocaine and meth and pot and whatever else. It's funny how just nobody really talks out loud bluntly about what it really is. It's one of their biggest export industries, makes everybody a lot of money. The government is totally comfortable with it. And that's their choice. That's how they choose to have a country. You know, I'm starting to get disenchanted with our government system. I mean, our system doesn't work very well.
Then apparently, after we, you know, sort of legalized pot, the cartels did is they set up their own illegal grow operations in California so they could take advantage and be right here with their product.
And those absorb a lot of water. You need a lot of water to grow pot.
You do,
and
yes.
I'm wondering if our government is going to be barging onto the property of the drug cartels. And remember that story in Calabasas where water officials would show up and they would install
The water police.
Something to severely restrict the flow to like 1/16th of its normal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They can put on a device. Yeah.
They're going to do that to Mr. Drug Cartel guy? They're going to cut off, 90% of the water supply to the pot farm? I don't think they're doing that.
Yeah, because usually these illegal grows are way out there in the wilderness. I don't know where they're getting the water from. That's a good question.
Oh, I know up in Northern California, way up north towards the Oregon border, up in the mountains there, they have gigantic pot farms that all kinds of people run.
All right, when we come back, John, there's one good story for you today, just one. Sorry, been a lot of bad news, like the walrus dying and the recall effort against Gascon failing. So I have to give you something.
Walrus story's the worst. John and Ken show, KFI.
The prosecutors in the case of that traveling nurse that killed all those people by ramming through the intersection in Windsor Hills, the fiery crash, her name is Nicole Lorraine Linton. They introduced a number of prior incidents today concerning the traveling nurse, Nicole Linton, which includes mental breakdowns, jumping on police cars, and jumping out of apartment windows. She apparently had been involuntarily committed on a number of occasions.
Holy jeez.
Wow. This is all about trying to keep her without bail pre-trial.
How many windows can you jump out of and still be around?
It doesn't have a detail here of how many times this happened, but...
She's
suicidal. That explains why she went 100 miles an hour and rammed through everybody.
No, she's insane.
This time she took her suicide to a different level. And of course, she didn't die. They did.
She's insane, and she never had to pay any consequences. And she never got any effective treatment. If there is, a lot of insanity you can't treat. But,
I promised you one good story for today. And it's the fact that the attempted assassin of Ronald Reagan, John W. Hinckley Jr., who was freed after 41 years of oversight from the court and the mental health system, he had plans to do concerts at a club in Brooklyn, New York. I know that appalled you. They canceled them.
Good.
He's not going to go there. Citing safety concerns, threats directed at them online, this music club in Brooklyn, they canceled a small sold-out concert in July. He wanted to perform 17 original songs, he wrote. It's a lifelong dream for the 67-year-old.
Wow.
You know, who began playing the guitar when he was a teenager.
That bullet missed killing Reagan by a tiny fraction of an inch.
And it did kill his press secretary.
And it did. Oh, yeah. And
Brady.
It took a while, but eventually killed the press secretary. You know, if Reagan had actually been assassinated, there'd be zero chance that Hinckley would ever be free.
Oh, of course.
Whether they declared him insane or not insane, he'd be locked up. The idea, because the bullet randomly missed by this tiny little bit, I mean, it went into his chest, came very close to his heart. You know,
we say that if it happened in California. I mean, Sirhan may be working his way out of prison. So
yeah, I know.
He killed RFK.
I mean, it's just outrageous that he gets to announce a music tour and it was sold out. It was a small club.
He had several others planned: Chicago, Hamden, Connecticut, Williamsburg, Virginia, but they all canceled for similar reasons. So his whole little concert tour for now is done.
Well, who bought tickets for that?
I don't know. I guess either people that were interested in the bazaar, maybe even reporters bought some of the tickets so they could sit there and write about it. I don't know.
You know, I like they have a quote from a piece written last year by Patty Davis, one of Reagan's daughters. She wrote it in the Washington Post. And she said, and this ought to be framed for virtually all these criminals. I don't believe that John Hinckley feels remorse. Narcissists rarely do. And that is one of the most misunderstood or least understood aspects of human nature. That people who are sociopaths, psychopaths, narcissists, there's no remorse that ever enters their brain. They can be coached and taught to imitate remorse, to right. say remorseful things, to have a remorseful look, but they don't actually feel it. They don't have that little part of the brain functioning properly that makes you feel sorry. Because if you had it, you probably wouldn't have done it to begin with.
He's apparently very disappointed. He doesn't watch television. He isn't interested in learning what people say about him. I don't read up on that at all, and I don't want to know. But apparently this club in Brooklyn got enough threats, they decided it really wasn't worth it. They didn't say it was because he's an assassin. They just said it wasn't worth it to have him there.
Right. In other words, the problem are the people calling in the threats. The problem isn't them hiring a wannabe presidential assassin. A murderer, right? That's not the problem. The problem is all these mean people online. Good Lord.
He's apparently had people do. He's posted songs to YouTube and Spotify, and people are listening to them.
I mean, yeah, it's like a ghoulish thing. I could see college guys saying, hey, look at this. The guy who shot Reagan, hey, he's got some songs. You want to download them?
30,000 subscribers on YouTube and more than 15,000 monthly listeners on Spotify.
Yeah.
But you don't pay for that, do you? Subscribers?
Yeah, I don't know how that works, man. I wonder if he is making money. There's all kinds of idiots making money on the internet.
Yeah, that's a scary thing.
All right, what do we have?
There's a lot of idiots making money here, too.
Yeah. You know, I thought that, but I didn't say it.
Oh. I thought you were looking at me when you said that. Steve Cooley's coming on tonight, former L.A. County District Attorney, to talk about the recall of George Gascon. I guess that was successful, right?
Yeah.
I didn't read anything today. Something going on? Jamie Farr from MASH is coming on. Oh, yeah. At 7:05, which is kind of cool. And then we have a high school teacher coming on at 8 o'clock. He also runs the Marine Corps League in Ventura, and he's doing a 13 Souls run in Simi Valley on August 27th for the anniversary of the lives lost in Afghanistan. So that'll be cool. We'll talk about that. But who do you guys blame for this?
I really wonder what went on internally with this recall organization.
Well, look,
they should have been able to smoke this out, you know, a month, six weeks in advance.
That many people weren't registered to vote at all. Wasn't that easy to pick up?
Do you believe the numbers, though?
No. I don't believe anything anymore.
Well, look, it's like my buddy of mine said, it's a marathon. You can't run 26 miles with 10 pounds of crap in each shoe.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. So eventually this all gets weeded out.
Yeah.
What an insightful buddy.
We'll find out. And that is true, what he said.
That's right. Yeah, He's a track guy, so he talks in those kinds of terms.
Talks in those kinds of really metaphors. All right. Conway's next.
Ding dong.
Ding dong.
Mike Crozier has
Conway.
The news. Let's go. KFI, KOST, HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.